It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This show is supported entirely by its listeners on Patreon. You can support it too at patreon.com/thephillies club. And the link is, of course, in the show notes. It takes 2 minutes and it helps a lot. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Phillies Club. This is episode 106. It's a special about gun owners and what they think. And it's March 2018. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Phileas Club. This is a show where we usually get people from different parts of the world together and discuss the news from the past month or so. And every other episode, well, actually, every middle of the month, we try to do a special where we talk about a specific topic. It might be a specific country or a specific context, background from someone. And today we have three different people who are here to talk about gun. I don't want to say gun control, but I want to say gun ownership and the feelings that come with those, gun ownership / gun friendliness. My name is Patrick Beja, and let me introduce the panel to you. First of all, we have Brian, who's been on the show before. He's a proud gun owner from Las Vegas. So you're pretty much the caricature of the gun-friendly American, right, Brian?
Yes, I'm all for gun friendliness.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I always tell that story, but you're the one who got me to shoot my first gun when we were visiting Vegas. You took my wife and me and a couple of other people to a shooting range. Oh, it was Salt Lake. You're right. To a shooting range, and we shot guns, and that was an experience.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
Thank you, sir. We also have two listeners who, a number of people sent us messages through, you know, after the last episode where we talk about, obviously, the issues that the massacre at Parkland in Florida, and it was not an easy topic. I don't think we're going to try to stay away from specific issues of like violence in this episode, but we're going to try to cover the topic in a more general sense and maybe hear from people who are gun owners or, as I said, gun friendly themselves. I chose two messages and two people who I thought were making interesting points. One of them was Jason. Jason, you wrote to me, and you are actually from Texas, right? So another basically gunslinging American caricature.
Yeah, the perfect caricature.
I'll get back to each one of you two so you can tell us a little bit more about yourselves. In a little bit, but lastly, I want to welcome Jeff as well, who is not from Texas or Las Vegas or a super gun-friendly place, but you did tell me that you grew up in an environment that was very gun-friendly, and we'll get into that. How are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing good, and I'm currently living in a very gun-friendly state.
Okay, where are
Tennessee.
You? Tennessee, all right. I would love to make a, you know, caricature of the accent of Tennessee, but I'm not going to try it because that would be too ridiculous. All right. So first of all, let's introduce each of you. Maybe let's start with Brian. Can you tell us where you're coming from? I mean, you know, what context you're evolving in. I know you're a proud Republican.
Correct.
And that's just a side note. I don't think it well, I guess, yes, it does matter in the context of the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your relationship with guns so we understand where you're coming from.
Okay. My dad's from Texas. He was born and raised on a ranch. So I was shooting when I was 5 years old, just a 22. I got my first rifle when I was 7. I've been in the Army. I've been law enforcement. And I am currently a owner of a security company. So that's where I'm coming from on guns.
All right. And you are, as I mentioned, a gun owner. You have you carry a gun with you, right?
Correct.
Right. Yes. On your person.
Yes.
All right.
For work. Yeah.
Yeah. For work. Do you not carry it when you're not at work?
I do at times. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that's Brian. What about you, Jason?
I grew up in Texas. I was raised in a family that did have some guns, mostly for hunting or target shooting. So I was always exposed to it as a kid. I didn't get any of my own until I was an adult. I don't own anything very exotic, just some, you know, a shotgun for a little bit of hunting. I don't consider myself an avid hunter, but I do occasionally go. And a couple of handguns that have been used for target shooting.
Okay, so you own guns yourself, as you were saying, and do you carry them with you when you're walking around?
No. I could, but no.
Okay. And finally, do you mind telling us your political affiliation? You don't have to.
I'd consider myself pretty moderate.
Okay, so moderate on, like, centrist?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, what about yourself? You were telling me you're not a gun owner yourself, right?
Correct. When I was growing up as a kid, I was in Boy Scouts. So at camp every year I would shoot. Had a BB gun because we had woods and stuff out behind the house where I grew up in Missouri, in rural Missouri. I would go hunting with friends out on the farm that they had, usually just quail hunting. I got family members that have guns. I got close friends that have concealed carry permits. I got another friend that likes collecting like World War II memorabilia, so World War II weapons, that kinds of thing. So. Okay.
All right. And what about, again, you don't have to say anything, but your political affiliation?
I tend to fall on the conservative side. I have voted for Democrats and Republicans, but say like in East Tennessee, Democrats here aren't like California Democrats.
Okay. That's an interesting way of saying it. All right. So I'm going to say a little bit about myself as well. So as many people probably know, I grew up in France. I wasn't born there, but got there very early in my life. And in France, we don't have a lot of gun friendliness. However, I'm going to get into it in a minute. Things might not be as different or as radical as people might think. So I have never owned a gun. I have shot a gun once with Brian, as we recollected just now, and I didn't particularly enjoy it, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I'm never touching a gun again. It's just, well, I can live without this in my life. But that's where I'm coming from. And as we mentioned in the previous episode, the general attitude towards guns and the reactions to gun legislation proposals and in the US, seen from Europe, is usually one of disbelief because we don't understand how things end up being the way they end up being. That being said, I'm going to get into my beliefs about gun control, which I made pretty clear, I think, last time, but my relationship with those questions. And I think a good place to start is to say how things work in France. And it's absolutely not the case that people don't have guns in France. And I think that's the case in most European countries, which might be surprising to some of the listeners from the US. we have hunting weapons pretty much everywhere. There's a lot of hunters in France. There's a hunter party. It's not a big party, but there's still one politically. And you don't even need a special permit to own a hunting rifle. There are like four different categories of guns in France, and hunting weapons, you just need to say that you own it. Like, you need to declare it, but that's it. You go to the police office and you're like, hey, I have a hunting weapon or a shooting range weapon, not a handgun, but like a smaller, probably a 22 caliber one. And you just declare it, and that's fine. You don't need a special permit, nothing like that. You can own a handgun, like a real actual gun. You just need an authorization from the police, the prefecture. Is that how you say it in English? Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. The prefecture. So you need an authorization, so they probably check for your, your criminal record, stuff like that. You get the authorization. You buy the gun within 3 months. And you can own it at home. There's a limit with the number of ammunition rounds you can buy in one go. And you can't carry it with you. But that's pretty much the limitation. You can just have it if you have the authorization. And pretty much anyone can get the authorization unless it's clear that you shouldn't have it. But it's still, you're required to get the authorization. The last category is like... war weapons is how we call them, and that you can't get. It's probably things like assault rifles and, I don't know, a bazooka or, you know, something like that, that you just can't own. And I think that represents pretty much where I'm coming from on gun laws. It seems like a reasonable way of doing things to me. So I'm sure it would seem too restrictive to many people in the audience, but I'm not saying you should just not be able to buy a gun ever for any reason, right? So as I said, you get an authorization from the prefecture and you can just own the gun at home. You can't carry it with you, but it's like, it's not, no one should ever own a gun anywhere in the country. And as I said, hunting weapons and shooting range specific weapons are just, you just need to say, hey, I have this gun, whatever. You don't even need to ask the permission to buy it. You just buy it and declare it. So that is where I'm coming from on guns. And I'm curious to hear, maybe let's start with Jason. What do you think of the current situation, you know, in your surrounding? What give us a picture of what people around you and maybe yourself think about how guns are being handled in the U.S. currently.
I think most people around here are fairly comfortable with the idea of guns. I don't see people who view it as something foreign or something to just be afraid of. I do see more and more frustration with the, you know, shootings that make a big splash in the news. People are considering things that they haven't considered in the past. At least that's what I'm seeing from friends of mine who have never been vocal about it before.
When you say frustration with these types of news, so first there have been news like this for forever, but before I get into that, when you say they're comfortable with guns, they don't have a problem with people carrying guns on their person and going to the coffee house. That's what you like. You go to Starbucks with a Beretta in your holder on your belt. That's okay for people around you.
I think that would. I don't think everyone is super comfortable with that, but in general, in Texas, people, if they do have a gun, it's concealed, so you wouldn't see it anyway.
Okay.
But no, I mean, there's people who don't feel comfortable with that and don't really love it. And there are, to be clear, there are restrictions for if you wanted to carry a gun. You're not just allowed to carry it wherever you want. You're not allowed to carry it on any sort of government property, which means post offices, school property, hospitals. Private establishments are allowed to publish a certain notice near their entrances that say that carrying a gun is prohibited. Do I see it? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And how do people react to that? Like, if you see more and more, are people starting to say, hey, you know, I'm not super happy with the fact that I can't carry my gun anywhere nowadays? Is that, do you ever hear things like that? Or
I think the only time I hear about it like people who don't have a concealed handgun license, which is something extra you have to get here. It has its own requirements and training, and you have to do a quick shooting test and things like that. So only the people who have gone through that process and paid the fees for it and are licensed to carry it on themselves, they're the only people who really consider even looking for it. I think your average person who doesn't have a concealed handgun license in Texas doesn't even notice these signs.
And that's not something common, or how would you say, well, it's hard to estimate, but in your feeling, your estimation, are there many people that have that extra permit, or is it relatively rare?
It's certainly the minority.
Okay.
And I would have to look up what percentage of people have them, but it's not inexpensive. It takes a pretty good amount of time. Occasionally there's a long backlog. I got one years ago. I don't carry myself anymore or anything like that, but you know, it is a hassle to get one, and the majority of people don't have one.
And you were saying people now react to the media stories about mass shootings maybe in a different way than they did a few years before. Is that what you meant?
Well, I don't think anyone was ever excited about them.
Right.
That you know, it's always a tragedy, but I do think people are... I don't want to speak for them, but I have a feeling that some people thought, oh, this first one or second one were isolated incidents, or a small tweak in things will address the problem. But I think the perception I'm getting is that people feel like, okay, well, we tried some small approaches and nothing seems to be improving, so let's consider something else.
Okay, that's pretty interesting indeed. So maybe there is, at least in your view, and as always, this is always, you know, the person who's speaking is speaking from their own experience, so everyone's experience might be different, but you're thinking maybe there's a small shift starting to happen, given that what's been done until now maybe hasn't worked as well as people would have hoped. What about you, Brian? What is your... what are your feelings about all of this? And you know, again, carrying around you and the way people react to all of that in your environment.
Well, most of the people in my area are the people I associate with, I guess, are fairly pro-gun. I have one friend who was fairly anti-gun years ago, and since he's lived here and stuff, he's got a couple of pistols, he's got a AR and, you know, stuff. So he kind of turned around on it. I think in my area, it's generally pro-gun. I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, most everyone, it's pro-gun. The stores I see that have have the no gun things, it's usually like maybe some kind of chain, big chain, national chain. So, but most stores don't have the sign. It's not a big deal. I mean, we've had open carry, like in Nevada, it's called open carry when you have it just on your hip so everyone can see. We've had that for years, and it's just never been a big deal, you know.
So people consider it like it's not really, they don't consider it a problem.
No, it's not, because it's not very common. I mean, some people do it, but not very many, you know. Really, the only times I ever really do it is, when I'm working, actually. But I'm, you know, private or whatever. I usually, if I carry, it's usually concealed. It's just that. The open carry, it's just not common. It's just, you know, and then some people are a little obnoxious about it too. You know, I just, you know, I'm like, get your concealed, just, you know.
So would you say how often do you encounter someone, and this is Las Vegas, so it might be a little bit different from like the rest of the country, but in general, in your last, I don't know, few years,
once every few months, maybe
you see someone with a gun on their hip or
open carry.
So people are used to it, you would say. It's just like it's a thing, and it's used to it, and you think people don't think it's a problem.
Those people aren't the problem, right? Yeah.
Idea that anyone can get a... Well, anyone. Again, that's another question, but that people can get a gun and open carry and all of that, people don't consider it this a problem.
No,
Okay.
Because those people that do it, they're not committing the crimes. They're not, you know, it's just, they're just enthusiasts, or maybe they were going out camping, or, you know, something like that, you know.
Mm.
They got a little, you know, they have a snake gun on their side, so.
Oh, there is such a thing as a snake gun?
Well, that's what you just call it, you know, when you're going out. Because, like, when I grew up with my dad always carried a gun when we went outdoors, because you just never knew. Well, you know, you might run across something or whatever, you know. And my dad had a hatred for rattlesnakes, so.
Understandable. How do you feel about automatic weapons, and how do you know, do people in your environment feel? Because I think a big divide is in that category, like an automatic, semi. Or maybe
automatic,
like, I'm talking about actually assault rifles, not just an automatic, like a gun that isn't a revolver, like an assault rifle.
Semi-automatic,
yeah.
Yeah, semi-automatics. Actually, like I said, most people in my area, you know, I don't see many problems with them, you know. Especially when you look at the actual stats, the number of crimes committed with, you know, just a rifle or preposterously low. It's very low, you know. Handguns by far use the most in crimes, and you know that stat's been going down for years too. But it's, I don't see it's like a big deal. I mean, just down the road from me, the county put in a new shooting range a few years ago, so people could go out and shoot their rifles and their pistols and their shotguns. And you know, it's a real sporting culture here. Yeah, there's definitely people into it.
Okay, so lastly, how do people react to the massacres that we see, the school shootings? How do people around you usually react to it?
Well, nobody likes it, obviously.
Clearly. I mean, yes, obviously. I think if anyone thinks,
The problem, they want to see the problem. I don't think they see it. I think if there was something reasonable, there needs to be some kind of reasonable changes. You know, like I put my note or whatever. I think, you know, doing a better job of making sure mentally ill people don't get guns, that they're on a list, or like we had that shooting at the church in Texas. That guy should have never been able to get one because he was supposed to have been put on a list for domestic violence, but the Air Force didn't do it. You know, there's some bureaucratic problems that need to be corrected, and like I said, and that's part of the mentally ill thing, because you got 50 states reporting 50 different ways. And, you know, I think, in my opinion, for me, I think we need to, that needs to be improved, you know.
That's an interesting one, because I think you're probably the most gun-friendly person I know. And when we get out of the murky, you know, questions of, is this good or bad specifically, there's a sentiment that, okay, maybe some things need to be changed or tweaked, at least, even amongst your peers and people who are gun enthusiasts. Okay. Finally, Jeff, what about yourself? You wrote a really interesting description of how people feel about the attitude towards guns in your environment. Can you tell us a little bit about all of that?
Well, so when I grew up in rural Missouri, it seemed like every pickup truck had a gun rack. And more often than not, there were guns in the gun rack. I mean, it was a lot of farmers and that. Now, you would see gun racks in the pickup trucks for the students at the high school, but they wouldn't have guns there. But
I remember those days.
Yeah, I mean, it was just common. You go up to the square to go shopping or whatever, and, you know, windows were rolled down on the pickups and guns were there, and it just wasn't a big deal.
So let me interrupt you for just a second. There would be gun racks and guns in the gun racks often, and they would go shopping and they would leave the gun unattended in the gun rack, like in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, look, I lived in a town of 11,000. I mean, the Walmart was way out at the other end of town. So it was still when you had the town square and that kind of stuff. And I mean, you knew all the cops' names, you know who the sheriff and all that was. It was just a, you know, smaller community, and it was just a, you know, I don't even call it Mayberry, just a small town thing. But it was, and, you know, so they would have deer season, And in Missouri, so, you can use rifles.
So they would be hunting rifles. They would be hunting rifles. It's not like a shotgun or... Right, it's
hunting rifles. Well, it would be both.
Okay, yeah, shotguns as well.
Yeah, 308 or, 30-30s or whatever. And, hunting was excused absence for school. So first day of deer season, and, man, there was hardly anybody in school because everybody was out hunting. And, when you're a farmer and that, and you got... deer eating your crops, you're allowed to shoot deer out of season just because of the damage that the deer do to the crops, or coyotes. Those were free game. You can shoot those whenever just because of the nuisance.
I'm going to interrupt you for another second. Do you feel like people arguing for stricter gun control also would impede that part, those activities like hunting and things like that? Because to me, as I mentioned, in France, not everyone hunts, but it's a very, very common thing and no one has a problem with it. Well, some people do, but for other reasons. But do you think like people feel, oh my God, they're going to come take our hunting rifles?
Well, you get some people think that because you do have people that want to get rid of all of them. Now, nowadays, in those same small towns, you don't see the guns or the in the trucks or the racks or that anymore, just because people's cars get broken into and whatnot nowadays. So it's not really as prevalent anymore. At least when I've been back.
That's interesting.
I don't see those anymore. But I was at I was at Sam's Club. It's a big warehouse store. Just over the weekend, and there was a dad there with three kids, and he had an open carry. And it was just like, I don't see it that often. Brian said, you might see it once every few months, but I see it often enough where it's not a big thing. And I have It's rare, or I don't want to say it's rare. Not everyone has a concealed carry, but there's enough of a percentage where it's not an uncommon thing for me where I live.
So how do you feel about, you, I guess, and the people around you about the same question, those stories when they come out, when they come up, school shooting, go ahead.
Yeah, it's in the circles that I move in, people want stuff done. It's just gun owners tend to say, let's enforce the rules and regulations that we have. There's statutes, federal and state, where, if you have mental illness, that you can't own a gun, or, there's all sorts of different classifications of who can and cannot. And, they wish that those were
enforced,
enforced greater, where then you have people on the other side that just, get rid of all of them, including the hunting, because, we don't need to hunt for food anymore. Going out in the woods and, killing innocent animals is, we're above that and that kind of thing. And so part of it is culture, I think. There's a cultural difference between, people from certain areas of the country as opposed to others.
Right. Well, we don't need to dance around it. There's a feeling that the Democrats want to take the guns. I mean, that's how I understood what you were saying, it's not necessarily what you think, but there's a sentiment that.
But it's different. Say like Democrats maybe on the coast as opposed to, Southern Democrats or, I think more of it's a coastal versus interior type of argument.
Okay, so do you feel like, and do people around you feel like there's this kind of alien culture, like America being divided between the people who, in the case of the gun issue specifically, people don't really have a problem with guns, and then there are the people on the coast that don't, themselves don't need or want the guns and want to enforce this on the people. Is that fair?
At least in the circles that I'm in. You can find, I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and so there's a university there, so you'll get you know, there's people in those circles that will, you know, have more of the anti-gun stance, just because of, now that's not saying everybody that's at the university is that way, but, you know, stereotypically, you'll have more. So
that sentiment is applied to, I think, hunting rifles. We can understand that this panel would think it's unreasonable to ban hunting rifles. What about, as I asked for Brian, things like automatic, like semi-automatic AR-15s, things like that?
So I got a good friend of mine that competition shoots. So he does 3-gun shooting. So it's rifle, shotgun, pistol. They just classify it as rifle. They don't say assault rifle. It's semi-automatic. And, you know, it's an enjoyable thing. I've seen the competitions, and it's a thing I enjoy to watch. I don't own one. My oldest son does, and it's just fun to target shoot with it. I do think that there's more rules that they can do. So I'm not adverse to it, but I don't think we need to eliminate them. Because there's any semi-automatic weapon. It's the same thing with semi-automatic pistols. I mean, it's just how fast you can pull the trigger.
So, yeah, sure. But I think it's also no question that a semi-automatic rifle will do more damage than a semi-automatic pistol. But so if someone was to, you know, when these conversations come up, I guess they sometimes do, there's no distinction between the set of, like, I don't know exactly, there wouldn't be an agreement to say we need stricter rules or laws for semi-automatic rifles than we do for pistols.
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
People wouldn't agree to have stricter laws for rifles than they do for pistols. Like, they don't think it would be necessary. They should be treated the same.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think we get a little bit of an image of each of you guys' environment. Let's talk about, I think, something that there was less division, I think, in these conversations than I might have expected. But I think if we talk about how things should be handled, I'm guessing we might agree a lot more than we would think. Let's take a few key points and see if we can, and if we end up being in agreement on those. I'm going to use parts of the questions that are discussed on an article in 538. I can't remember if we mentioned it before we started recording or after. But it's basically a collection of polls. There are many different polls covering different demographics and basically putting into light what people think about different statements about gun laws. They're divided between GOP and Democrats, and sometimes they're quite far apart, but also sometimes they're quite close together. And I'm not going to use all of this. I'm going to put a link in the show notes so that you can go check it out. It's a really interesting article. And again, it's not specifically 538 that did the polling. They just gathered the data. So hopefully it's not, you know, skewed. But some of the questions, I think, are right on what I wanted to discuss. So if we ask, should the minimum purchase age be raised to 21 for basically, let's say, all guns, which is one point we raised in the previous episode, saying, you know, you can't drink or whatever, vote in some countries for 21. Probably you shouldn't be able to own a gun. It seemed reasonable to us. What do you guys think? Should people be able to buy guns before they're 21? And maybe in some states, it's already not allowed, right? So we're talking about the ideal rule. What do you think should be allowed or not, regardless of how it's implemented in different parts of the country or the world? Minimum age to purchase a gun, 21, no matter what. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Ryan?
I like it the way it is now. 18 Which is? For a rifle and 21 for a pistol.
18 for a rifle, you mean hunting rifle?
Any rifle.
Any rifle.
So an AR-15, 18 is fine.
A semi-automatic. Yes.
Okay. Why is it 18 and 21 for pistol? Because it's more difficult to conceal, I guess.
Yeah. Also because of the hunting, that plays into the 18 rule also, because you have a lot of hunters, young hunters, you know, kid hunters or younger people that go hunting. That's where that comes from.
Sure. I think, I mean, in France, we have kids.
Also the shooting competitions and all that stuff too. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, in France, we have kids younger than, I guess, 16 that start hunting with their parents. Doesn't mean they can go and buy a gun themselves. But I'm curious, if we authorized, you know, 18 for a hunting rifle and then 21 for rifles that aren't made for hunting, unless you're an athlete and you have a license with, you know, something in your shooting.
See, now you're getting into these classifications. Mm. Like what, you know, because what people think, you know, a lot of times what they consider to be an assault rifle has to do with the way it looks. And like you can look at the pictures of like a Ruger Mini 14 versus, you know, like an AR-15 type rifle. And they'll look right at that AR-15 and go, oh, that's the, you know, that's the bad one. And they're both basically the same.
You don't think it is?
Huh?
You don't think it is?
I think people are bad.
No. Jeez. Really, Brian? Seriously? Like, you don't think... So, AR-15 and hunting rifle, you think, should not be differentiated for purchasing age? Hello?
I would say no, not right now.
Okay. All right. What? Yeah? I was going to ask Jeff. What about you?
I'm fine with keeping it at 18, but I'm also okay with raising for doing a classification for certain weapons for 21.
Okay, so if we're I'm not
adverse to it.
If we're talking about things like specifically differentiating hunting rifles and semi-automatic like rifles that aren't made for hunting, like
right,
yeah, okay. All right, so that's the question about 21. What about the background checks for all gun purchases? That's another question, which apparently most people agree in the U.S. Basically, defining the background check is probably a little bit different, you know, more of a conversation. But having a background check for before you can sell any kind of gun, are you for or against, Jason?
I'm for.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah, I'm for it. It's they already happen now. The only area where they really don't happen is with private gun sales. And they tried passing a law in my state, in Nevada, so that to require private gun sale, you know, transfers or whatever you want to call it, to get a background check, which I don't have a problem with. It's unfortunately the law was written badly, and they said you had to get an FBI check, and they didn't talk to the FBI before they passed a law, and the FBI said, no, we're not doing that. So,
but so in principle, you think it would be necessary.
Yeah. I want to make sure I want to have, you know, I've sold guns before, but I've sold them to people I knew. I wouldn't mind having a resource available so I can make sure that I'm not selling a gun to some, you know, someone that shouldn't be getting one, because I don't want, you know, I don't have a problem with that, you know.
Okay. So background checks, it seems we have two yeses. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm for background checks.
All right. So agreement there. What about blocking gun sales to people with a history of mental illness? Again, that kind of creates the question of, how do you make sure that you know whether or not the person has a history of mental illness, which means, you know, what do we do with mental illness as well? But should we block all gun sales, period? Like, if you have a history of mental illness, you cannot own a gun. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I would say yes. But I'd also like to add that this is where the implementation becomes really difficult, because... Sure. the only way to know if someone has a history of mental illness is to make sure that they have a diagnosis, which the majority of people who are committing these heinous acts don't have a diagnosis. And even if you do get one, then there's medical privacy laws of, you know, sharing someone's personal medical details with other agencies. That's usually a hot topic. And then also there just happens to be a pretty big stigma against mental illness in the United States. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it's, you know, it's not something commonly discussed here, and it could use some work and some improvement. And it's worth pointing out that I think statistically, you know, there's many mental illnesses that you're more likely to be a victim of violent crime than to actually perpetrate one. And so it's important to realize that, you know, if someone has Asperger's disease or something like that, that they're not likely to be violent, or they shouldn't be stigmatized any further than they already are by these kinds of discussions.
And do you think in the case of gun ownership, that would be an issue for someone with, like, if we would say someone with Asperger's disease or some form of, you know, they're on the spectrum of autism, which Asperger is a mild form of autism, if I'm sorry if I'm misrepresenting the illness, but if we were to say those people that are diagnosed with this should not be able to purchase guns, that would that would qualify as stigmatizing them?
I don't know. Maybe. All I would say is that this one seems to be a very easy one to point to and say, oh, well, you know, it's crazy people. It's crazy people with guns that are the problem. And so, you know, me and my friends and all the people I know, we're okay. But it's the crazy people. And it's really easy to say that when, you know, some people that commit these crimes, you don't know that they have these problems, or it wasn't commonly known. Some people you do, like this Parkland shooting, for example. But
that's the issue, I think. It's, yes, obviously you're not going to catch everyone, but if you know for, you know, some of them are preventable, then maybe if there's a way to prevent them, why wouldn't we? I guess it's the question that many people would ask.
No, I'm for it. I just, I think the actual implementation of this one specifically, this isn't as easy as, you know, an age restriction. This one's going to be a little bit more difficult to implement. And I personally feel like occasionally it's a scapegoat for a lot of people.
Okay. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I think, like what I told you in the email, I think there's definitely room for that. But like Jason, I think it's easy to say yes to that, but it's called the implementation. Like I said, you got 50 different states, and they're going to have 50 different ways of reporting the people. Having, you know, like my mom's mentally ill, and dealing with that, and seeing how you get people that they kind of don't want to do anything. And, you know, they wouldn't even want to say legally that my mom is insane when she is. They kind of refuse to do it because it's too much of a hassle to do it. Like I said, keeping guns out of the mentally ill, and like, then which mental illness are we going to apply it to, and for how long? Well, depression. Well, okay, depression, that sounds like a, you know, yes, but people come out of it, you know. You know, like I said, that's what I'm saying. It would take some thoughtful discussion to really kind of implement good ideas on it. So,
but it seems what I'm hearing is there are reservations about the implementation, but in principle, you're not opposed to it.
Oh, no, definitely. I would say, like, I mean, if you say you want to keep it out of schizophrenic's hands, I'd be like, yes. Okay. You know,
right.
You know, there's definitely people. You know.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm for it. Now, you know, there's, you know, you have a, you know, right to medical privacy, but when I, you know, say if you had a mental illness and then you were denied a gun, I don't think that, you know, it should show up to the retailer saying, hey, this person we're denying, you know, due to reason of, you know, mental illness. It would just be like when you get your credit card declined, where it just says declined. It doesn't give a reason.
Right.
It just is. If you want to know why, well, you know, contact whatever reporting agency or authority is doing it. So that part of it, I think, would be easier. But yeah, there's minutia and all that stuff. Problem is, people don't want to take the time to, you know, do that. That's, it doesn't make for a good soundbite.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again, kind of an agreement there. And I don't know how easily it would be implementable, but what you're saying, like, you just, it seems like a system where you get someone's ID card when they buy a gun, it's required, and you check with some sort of governmental database, and it has to be federal. Obviously, it has to be unified. And you see whether they are authorized to own a gun or not. And if they're not, then you can't sell it to them. And it would be required for private owners to also check somehow with that before they sell the gun privately to someone. And they're responsible, you know, there's a license and you can transfer the license or whatever. It seems like we have kind of a overall agreement, not on the details, but on most of those points. Let's keep going. And I think at this point, there's going to be less of an agreement. It's about banning assault weapons and high capacity ammunition magazines. So as I mentioned, I think that would be reasonable to ban assault weapons, but we get into that conversation about for what uses. But let's say unless you're using them for sporting purposes and you have a license with a sporting federation where you're shooting for sports, banning assault weapons, I think, Brian, you said you wouldn't be for it. But right. let's ask. Jason, banning assault weapons, and let's throw in the high-capacity ammunition mags in there as well. Should they be banned or not?
I don't mind like an outright ban with exceptions, like you said. You know, if you're a recreational shooter or you're part of a sporting committee or something like that, then, or basically if there's a few exceptions, that's fine with me. But yeah.
Yeah. So then the onus becomes, well, I mean, the default position becomes you can't have it unless you somehow have the authorization, as opposed to now for assault weapons. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's different in different states, but not just now. Like, the situation that would be acceptable to you would be you can't have it unless you have the authorization, which is obviously the opposite of, well, you can have it unless you shouldn't be having it. Brian, what about you?
Yeah, I'd be against that.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to ban assault weapons?
No, because we had a ban before for 10 years, and there was no statistic difference. The DOJ did a study after the ban ended, and there was no statistical difference. That they said the ban didn't make any difference at all in crime rates or anything like that. Also, the one of the things that happened too with the ban, the rifle manufacturers altered the appearance of their rifles so that they wouldn't be classified as a quote-unquote assault rifle.
Right, so you can always dance around. Yeah, you can always dance around stuff, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do. And I think that is where one of the...
But that's what, you know, you want to do something that's effective, though. You know, that's the thing, and that's not effective.
But,
you know?
Right, but I understand
you
what
want
you're
to do
saying.
Something just to do something.
No, know? It's I not get... just to do something. It's because it's right. What I mean, if
well,
we put
that's
the except,
not true.
Let me
that's, you know,
let me let,
that's in
let
your
me
opinion.
Ask you. Let me ask you, Ryan. If there is an exception for, and I'm sure you're going to have an answer for this, but if there is an exception for recreational, like sporting use, what other reason is there to own assault weapons with high capacity ammunition magazines? Why should someone own that?
Why should? Because yeah. They have the right to.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'll have to say one of the things I find a little bit annoying to me is that how the Second Amendment is not given its due. That it's just kind of brushed off as a joke. Mm. It's the Second Amendment for a reason. It's right after the first one. It was done for a reason. So, and I think, I think people like you, Patrick, need to approach the issue from that and kind of respect the Second Amendment, because I think a lot of times it's given short shrift, and it's just kind of like, it's, you know, whatever, you know, it's just kind of thrown off to the side.
But so. are you suggesting that we should have you know, regular people owning grenade launchers or fully automatic weapons?
Well, first of all, those aren't legal. Fully automatic weapons are not class 3 weapons.
Oh, I know they're not very specialized. But if
also grenade launch, hold on, grenade launchers, that's a destructive device. That's a $200, you know, that's, they're not even sold. And destructive devices carry a $200 per thing, you know, per piece.
No, but Brian, someone decided these, back when the Second Amendment was written, those devices didn't exist. So at some point, someone decided those ones are too dangerous or too bad or too destructive or whatever, and those ones are okay. So it's not like the Second Amendment is universal for every single type of weapon. So I understand what you're saying about the Second Amendment, but it seems like you're applying this to, like, as a blanket, well, assault weapons are okay. But someone decided that. So it's not like it's a universal right. It's someone or a group or, you know, whatever, who decided which one is okay and which one isn't. So it doesn't seem incongruous to say, well, maybe these ones were badly classified. I'm not saying they should be. I mean, yes, I think they should be, but in the theoretical discussion, they could be reconsidered. And you're saying, no, they couldn't be reconsidered, right? Does that make sense?
Well, like I said, I think it's something, I think it has to be approached, you know, in a certain way. And I think a lot of times the rhetoric is just all about just get it right, you know, just get rid of it. You know, it's, there's not much thought given to it. And like I said, I don't think there's a lot of respect given to the Second Amendment. And like I said, I think that people need to approach it that way, you know.
Okay.
It's just...
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, like I said, you know, like I said, you want to take... I mean, you have millions of law-abiding gun owners, and now you're just...
No one's disputing that.
You're just basically saying, hold on, you're just basically saying, we're going to deprive you of your property. We want to come and, you know, we want to take those away from you. And it's funny, that issue is not so easy, you know.
It's funny that
go ahead.
You sort of go into, and this is not necessarily a criticism, but you go into the arguments that we hear from, I think to me they seem almost like a caricature, but I think they are genuine from certain people. It's like, that's what you get to. It's, and that's how people feel. It's like, well, the Second Amendment is there for a reason, and it's a right that was given, and that is important, and you can't come and take my property. And that is something that doesn't resonate with me because of my background and environment, but I'm pretty sure it does resonate with some other people. Clearly, it does resonate with you, Brian, but...
Well, with many people.
Yeah, obviously, with you and many others. I just have a hard time. I think the thing that is difficult for me is reconciling the damage that is caused by a certain state of things and basically people be willing to sacrifice the damage for what they consider their right. And I think your argument would be, yeah, but the damage isn't as bad as you think it is or as bad as you...
Well,
you're saying it is.
Europe, you know, a lot of them, Matt, when you look at it per capita, countries in Europe have similar rates of mass shootings.
No. I can't let you say that, Brian. I'm sorry. That's not the case.
Per capita it is, yes.
No, it is not. We can start dishing out numbers, but I'm sorry. That's just not true. And also, we don't have assault weapons.
Why do you say that?
Because it's the truth. Because it's a fact. We don't have mass shootings like school shootings.
Bataclan?
The what? Sorry?
Bataclan, Charlie Hebdo.
Those were
mass shootings,
yes,
right?
Do you know how many people died there?
Anyway, like over 100 in Bataclan.
Let's not get into that discussion because it's going to be very, very long and different. And it's going to take us into another... area of that conversation. You don't want to ban assault weapons.
Not right now.
Okay.
So I think the key argument is assault weapons versus semi-automatic weapons. And when you say assault weapons, basically it's any semi-automatic rifle.
It's just that the ones that the AR-15 has a military look to it, so it gets classified as an assault weapon. But you can, there's any, rate of fire for any semi-automatic is going to be, within, a certain range that's going to be fairly close. I'm all for banning high capacity mags, the bump stock, so that it, it increases the rate of fire. Yeah, go ahead and ban those. I got a friend of mine that owns one, and he's, thinking about just going ahead and selling it because, after the Las Vegas shooting, just because,
he figures he's going to... He's not comfortable owning it?
No, he's comfortable owning it. It's going to get banned, and he's going to lose it, so he might as well sell it and get his money.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the bump stocks going, but... Yeah.
Can you explain what you don't have a problem?
No, I don't.
You don't have a problem with them going, with them being banned? You
right,
mean?
Getting banned? No.
The bump stock, for the people who don't know, who might include myself, it's basically magazines that have Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's actually, it's an attachment to the, basically kind of like the shoulder stock. And what it does is it you kind of like put your finger on the trigger, you fire it, and it the rifle moves
the recoil
from the recoil, so then it's hits your finger hits the trigger, so you increase your rate of fire. But it's I don't like anyone that like I said, it's fun. I've shot automatic weapons and they're fun when you're shooting on someone else's dime, but when that's my ammo, it's not cheap, so yeah, it kind of loses its fun. Yeah, I'm like, that's really expensive.
I mean, if you want to have high capacity ammo, then fine, have them out of range where you can rent the rent the magazine. They hold your ID or whatever like that.
And then there's millions. You're never gonna get rid of them. There's millions of them.
Sure,
out there.
I understand.
They tried getting
that.
Rid of them before, and of course,
didn't
make any difference.
Okay, but but through time.
Nope.
It'll go down.
Nope.
I agree with Jeff. Okay. He used to say the same thing about smoking prevalence, that everyone smokes, and they're addicted, and it can't be stopped. It will take a really long time, generations, but I don't think that's a good excuse to just say we're not going to do anything.
You can bury
it's like saying it's like
over 50 years.
It's like saying in Europe, there's millions and millions of bombs that are, pounds of bombs that are still left from World War II. We're never going to get rid of them. So why even go look for them still?
Unsurprisingly, I'm more with Jeff and Jason on that, but I understand, Brian,
you're surprised.
Just to explain my perspective on this is, I have a gun, and I'm not anti-gun. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. But, a restriction that we've been discussing wouldn't particularly impact me. If I want to go and shoot really, really fast, some really exotic things, I can go do that. You can go to a gun range today
and rent
a fully automatic, a straight up machine gun. Again, if you're shooting on someone else's dime, hopefully, because ammunition is really expensive. But, these things aren't a practical restriction to me. I can still go do it for fun wherever I want. If I decided I was going to sports shoot or get involved with an organization like that or something, just like getting a handgun license to carry it. It's an avenue. It's just an additional hurdle that reduces the prevalence and the it stops making so light of a casual thing.
I think the last question is going to get all of us back together. And I think it's...
Not me.
Oh, yes. It will. But because the last question is, should we outlaw all guns? Period. No question. Just all guns should be outlawed. Jason.
No, and I usually feel like that's a red herring anyway.
Obviously.
There's so little support for it. I think the poll that you're looking at says like 10%. I mean, it's so poorly supported that I don't think it's something that should even be brought up.
I don't know. I think, maybe that's my impression, but I think that some people think, so they want to outlaw all the guns. And that's as you're saying, it's not something real. Sure, some people think that, but there is no significant support, I think, for outlawing all the guns. So I think it's worth mentioning just to make sure that we're all on the same page that no one wants to outlaw all the guns. We're talking about, as we said today, I think overall we've come to a lot of agreements, even with Ryan. Maybe not a lot, but some agreements, even with Ryan, a lot between the three of us and then Ryan, some. But no one is saying we should outlaw all the guns, right? Ryan, Jeff, no one's saying that.
No.
I feel like it's often brought up by the NRA to drive gun sales. All it does is drive more gun sales because people panic.
Mm. Do you think that's accurate, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Jeff,
like what about Obama was president, gun sales went through the roof.
Mm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw a thing saying that Republican administrations have poorer gun sales because people aren't afraid that someone's going to take your guns.
Mm. Okay. Jeff, you were saying something?
Well, I was just basically going to reiterate what they said.
Mm.
So,
okay. So basically that's something brought up by people who want to sell guns that get gun sales through the roof. Brian, you were confirming as well?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I knew people that were kind of riled up. Oh, Obama's going to take our guns away. And I was kind of like, well, like how? Like he hasn't said anything. Like it's not going to happen, you know, but well, you know, the one thing you didn't ask me, is this, like, if you want to talk about the semi-automatic rifles or anything, you should ask, like, do you think we should have another extra tax on them? And that's something I think we could consider because I think price does, you know, make a difference. You know, it can keep it out of, you know, hands you don't want them to because that shit's expensive.
They have sin taxes on cigarettes and alcohol. I don't see an issue with guns either.
They do for guns. There's actually a tax on guns and ammunition, which has been funding our wildlife areas for many years. Many hundreds of millions of dollars have gone to protecting our wildlife and has come from gun and ammunition sales.
So you would propose some different tax rate or increased tax rate for maybe some types of weapons or
that seems a little more reasonable. Yeah. That's something I can think of. I'm like, and I, like I said, I, if you start and the thing is, I don't know, guns are not cheap. You know, they're at least a few hundred dollars, if not going more. Like, well, the guns I have are more than that. So,
okay. So we're going to bring the show to a close fairly soon. I'm almost afraid to ask the question. I'm going to anyway, though, just for the hell of it. There's another question about arming teachers, which would you be in favor of arming teachers, Jason?
No, I think that just opens the door to more problems than it would help.
Okay. Brian?
It would depend. It would depend. What? I think there are some areas of the U.S. Like a rural areas that have small sheriff's departments, something like that, where they don't have the resources where you'd have like in a city. I could see some kind of good training program for teachers to be able to to be armed in the school. That seems a little more reasonable, you know.
Okay,
the big city teachers, you know, I think that's all going to have to be up to them. Okay. But like I said, there is legitimate reasons. Like I said, you got areas of the country where the nearest cop is like at least half hour away or so.
Okay, so. That's okay. Jeff,
yeah, I'm against it. I think it's I think them bringing it up is just the politicians that do that are just trying to. Office, or they're just trying to divert the conversation. So,
okay,
I'm not for it.
All right, so that's another area where we have almost agreement. But Brian is arguing in some cases where the closest cop is pretty far away. I think those cases would be so limited, though, that I'm not even sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a small, Okay. Also, I think we do need improved school security. you know, the way our schools are built, the way, you know, we secure them for the kids.
I don't know. You know, the things I the image I have, which might not be the, you know, very accurate, but the metal detectors at school entrances and things like that, it seems like you're as all right. Another conversation for another day. I think overall we got a fairly interesting and I hope accurate look at how, you know, some and maybe many of the gun owners in the U.S. look at this issue. And again, even in the cases where we disagree, the thing I take away from it, and I thought that was how this conversation was going to go, so I'm pleased to see it actually did. But the thing I'm taking away from it is mostly people agree on many things. There are things that we wouldn't agree on, and some question I didn't ask because I actually, we all know that we weren't going to agree on, although maybe not that many in the end. But overall, I think the image that we have in the media and in Europe, as we said last episode, it's an image that is of much greater division and antagonism than the conversation we had here. And of course, it's a specific kind of welcoming safe space, right? I'm sure the right side of the aisle loves that word. It's a safe space for Republicans to express, or conservatives to express their opinions. But still, if people were actually talking about things at a table, having a beer, discussing these issues, there are many things that could be agreed upon and that could be implemented. Now, maybe the actual issue is politicians being paid off by this or that organizations and not willing to do this or that. Brian,
I think like when they talk about the money in the NRA, I think it's vastly over estimated. You know, the whatever you want to say, the power of the NRA is that the people that are in the NRA vote that issue. That's what it is. It's not money.
Yeah,
donations,
but
political donations. It's that the people vote. I mean, they vote hard on that issue.
Yeah, but Brian, yeah, even yourself are, I think, as I mentioned, the person who is the most for advocating for gun rights that I know, and I suspect you are in the you know, in the category of people in the U.S. that are probably the most for that. But even you are agreeing that there are some, well, okay, but let's not, you know, there are crazies everywhere, but there are some changes that you think would be beneficial, and other people that are also gun owners are saying, yes, there are these and these things that we can do, and yet they are not being implemented. So when I'm asking why is that, it seems like it's on the politicians' part, and why is that? Then that's a whole other conversation.
It doesn't snag the sound bite. It's because when you get down to it, it's a multifaceted issue that would that takes thoughtfulness and reasonableness to
arrive
at an actual kind of effective solution, or at least, you know, part solution.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Lord knows the politicians can't think about stuff. Those good for nothing them.
All they can think about is the next election.
True. Yeah. I liked that's how to fix it. Let's say we'll save this for another episode where we save the world. At least I think in this episode, we managed to, find a lot of common ground, and the idea of reasonable gun reform as an idea doesn't seem that complicated or foreign. Even with, because you're all gun owners and, you know, or have been gun owners, and you are in the pro-gun part of the spectrum. So the fact that we can have this discussion is, I think, important. And the fact that other avenues are not managing to have that conversation in that way is a real shame and the real problem, I think. And I don't understand. Maybe the disbelief shifts to why is that not happening elsewhere. If you know, it's a freaking small little podcast with just people discussing Maybe that's the thing. We're discussing it quietly with no need for more clicks and more exposure.
There's no winners or losers.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we're not.
And that's what politics is.
You're not doing a clickbait stuff, you know.
And you know how I'm managing to do a not clickbait stuff? Because people are subscribing to Patreon. That's right.
That was good.
You can help the show.
That's right. Good.
Hey, what's the gun situation in Finland?
Lots of people have guns. It's hunting mostly, but lots of people have guns. First of all, because we need to defend against the Russians if they ever show up. But
you know, it was 2 days ago. It was the anniversary of the Finnish surrender to the Russians.
Don't use that word.
In 1940.
I don't think that's the word we use here.
Or the ceasefire. I'm sorry, the ceasefire.
But yeah, there were tons and tons of guns, and there's a problem with alcoholism as well, which led to other. I mean, they clean things up in Finland, but there's still lots of guns and lots of hunting, and that's not the case. You know, I talked about France. I'm talking about Finland. In Switzerland, every person has to have a rifle, right?
Right. And they're all in the army.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, there are lots of examples of people. So it's not about, I'm getting back to that point, and I don't want to launch the whole conversation again, but it's not about, you know, removing all the guns. It's about choosing which guns are okay to own and which ones should probably be more regulated, which...
I think a better differential is gun violence versus mass shootings. Because it's two different... different things.
Sure, sure.
And so,
and then we start wondering why the mass shootings happen in the U.S. and elsewhere. And then we talk about mental illness and the way it's handled, and healthcare, and guns as well play into this. And I think ultimately the issue becomes it's super complicated, and not one thing will be a magic fix. But again, it sort of jumps into that doesn't mean nothing should be done, which is a point Jason was making earlier and which I wholeheartedly agree with. But all right, let's end the show on that wonderfully hopeful note that we should do stuff, and give each one of you guys the opportunity to tell people where you do you have like Twitter accounts or websites or something that you want to talk about for people to follow you or find you on the internet. I don't know if any of you do, but Jason, what about you?
Sure, you could reach me at Jason Chisler, Chisler.
Jason Chisler on the Twitter. What about you, Jeff?
No, I don't do any of that. I barely have time for the things I do.
Okay. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. And Brian?
I'm on Twitter at BHESS. BHESS. You can find me on there anytime.
Excellent. We'll have the link in the show notes. And of course, as I mentioned, the Phileas Club is supported on Patreon. It's patreon.com/thePhileasClub. The link will also be in the show notes. If you want to support this kind of thing and this kind of, I know it's not sexy. I know it's not, you know, clickbaity. It's not the thing you'll see on BuzzFeed or shared a million times on Twitter. But I think it's valuable. I think for some people there is interesting stuff to be gleaned out of these conversations. And I hope, if you're listening, I hope you think so too. And if you do, then I will happily take your dollars, dear sir or madam. So go to the patreon.com/thePhileasClub and consider giving me the equivalent of a coffee or a beer or something for each episode published, because I'll take that money and use it to buy food for my child. Do you want my child to go unfed? No, it's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. I don't need the money for the kid. I'll still take it, though. So patreon.com/thePhileasClub. Thank you very much for listening. I'm also Not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be back in about a couple of weeks, I hope, for a regular episode. And that's it. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. The First Ten Amendments are the Bill of Rights.
And it's, you know, the rights that were guaranteed that the government can't take away from you, because that was the whole, whole point. So if you, get rid of the second, then, you know, what's going to stop?
Well, I think you can approach the issue better. Yeah, I think you can approach, if you have that in mind, regardless who you are or where you are, if you see it from that perspective and approach the issue from that perspective, I think you have you can have an easier time approaching the issue and maybe, you know, coming up with better solutions. You know, more effective ways to do things. You know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it helps the solutions. Maybe it does, but it certainly helps understanding where people are. Because I hope that's something I expressed in the show. I definitely disagree with the way you're portraying it, but I understand that many people feel that way, and that's important to acknowledge as well.
What portray? I don't understand.
Sorry?
The way I portray the Second Amendment, or what was?
Yeah, I mean, what you said, the fact that it's a, you know, it's essentially a God-given right that you have to own guns, and well, you get into the whole conversation about what the intent of the Second Amendment was and what this the situation of weapons was when it was written. I think that's an important part thing to take into account.
It's interesting, but you can also, but like I said, you know, you can look at it, but the thing is, recent SCOTUS cases, you know, Heller, McDonald, they have all reaffirmed that right. So
yeah, but as Jason said,
you can debate about it. You to make that a substantive change, you'll have to get a repeal the amendment. And
no, good luck on that. Hey, listen, as Jason said, there are some types of weapons that are not legal to own. And no one is saying that, you know, we should get rid of the Second Amendment, but classifying different types of weapon, I don't think is something that becomes prohibited by the existence of the Second Amendment, because it already isn't, right?
Yeah. I just think that using the term assault weapon is a way to, it's a way to muddy the waters on the argument, because it's a semi-automatic rifle.
Right, right.
And you know, so it's both sides do it. I mean, I've been getting in arguments with friends of mine on Facebook. They post these stupid quotes, you know, supposedly from George Washington or whoever. And I've spent way too much time researching whether that is a quote or not. And I'm just like, guys, stop it. It's just Russians. any trolls, you know, on Facebook is just Russians.
It's just Russians.
Just stop it.
I think a better way of approaching it, maybe we should have done this. By the way, I hope it's okay. I might include this in the post show, this conversation. But but I think a better way of doing it is thinking of which weapons, you know, are considered, let's say, for lack of a better term, war weapons like grenade launchers, and which aren't. And changing the classifications on those might be a better way of approaching it. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. And not specifically saying assault weapons, which, as you have mentioned, doesn't really have a clear definition. So
correct.
Yeah.
Well, like go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason.
We already have, you know, limits on a number of rights, right? There's times you have to get a permit for certain speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. There's already certain gun laws that require a license before you can engage in them. There's already certain guns that aren't allowed. So I think substantively, we live in this world already. It already happens. It's just maybe time for an update or a revision.
It goes back, for me, it goes back to the, you're not going to get rid of them. We had the ban for 10 years and it didn't do anything. One of the things too,
which gets go ahead.
I'm gonna make a real quick point. I read part of this book called AK-47. This guy did a book about the AK-47, and you would not believe it, but I found it very interesting that in Afghanistan, they bury those, their guns. I'm just saying, you're not going to get rid of them because they bury them and they dig them back up later. I mean, I'm just saying, you're not going to get rid of them. And like I said, I think a better way, I think a tax might be a better way to go than an actual ban.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't think this is a reasonable argument. But
then only the privileged will have guns.
guns for the 1%.
Well, that's the thing. There's 300 million guns out there. You can say you're going to do a ban, and it's not going to be a ban.
Hey, Brian, no one's talking about doing a complete, like, when you're saying it's going to be a ban, it's
not. No, I'm not saying it's a full ban. I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean like an assault.
Even like on a, you know, the semi-automatic rifles, they're still going to be out there. They're still going to be sold and
as Jason said, and as many people have said, very reasonably, obviously, it's not going to make them disappear from one day to the next. It's going to take generations. Yeah. But the fact that they're not going to disappear isn't a good enough reason for it not to do anything about it. And. Yeah. Anyway, we're rehashing now, so I'm gonna.
Well, like, you know, Tennessee already has laws on the books about the mentally ill not being able to have guns. Mm. The question is, how do you know when somebody's mentally ill? So it's the government getting information on your personal medical records, it's privacy stuff.
Yeah.
And how is that a? You know, how do you balance that?
Hey, one of the things I mentioned.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Jason. Go ahead. I was going to say, one of the things I mentioned to Patrick in an email, and this is probably something we definitely wanted to avoid for this show, but I think everyone on the show can agree that, you know, mentally sound people who have, you know, a reasonable living and, you know, a cheery outlook don't commit any acts of violence, whether with a gun, a car, a bomb, or anything. And so restricting things helps prevent these things, but the truth is, until there's, you know, adequate avenues for people to get regularly checked for problems to prevent mental illness getting out of control, and you know, people living in squalor and destitution.
So what I'm hearing is that all
intervention
three of your,
before it becomes a problem.
Right? Yeah. What I'm hearing all of you advocating for is more healthcare. So thank you, everyone. That is what we're doing for the show.
And mental health.
We understand that the conclusion is that government.
Patrick wins.
Government regulated, mandated healthcare and imposed on everyone forever. Thank you, everyone.
That will be the entire show. Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.